And now, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be unto Him a Father, and He shall be unto me a Son. And again, when He brings in the first begotten into the world, He saith, Let all the angels of God worship Him. Now, what, you know what we're reading here? We are reading the words. Jesus went into hell on the 22nd Psalm. You read it in the Amplified. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Well, there's been all kinds of discussion about what was finished. Well, that's fine and good. But that was not the purpose that God gave it to David to start with. He gave it to David to give him a combat fighting material because he's going into hell 3 days and three nights. He went in there quoting that 22nd Psalm. Can you imagine what David was saying in paradise? He's using my stuff. Glory to God. And he led captivity captive. Yes. And took them out. Hallelujah. Dig a little deeper in the book. And I was praying and digging deep. And then the Lord said, you read that and you read that and you'll see those of the words that I spoke to hell to turn my Son loose. I asked Him one time, I'd been praying a while. I said, what was your biggest expression of power when you created the universe? No, He said that was easy. Then He changed my mind. He rested on the seventh day. I'd always said he wasn't tired. He was because he finished. No, he was tired. That was a lot of spiritual energy that went out of him. Light be, light was. And this universe burst into 24 hours with the speed of light. Something like 16 billion miles of the universe. He was tired and he rested. And he said that was easy. I said, what then? He said, don't you remember in my word? I had my covenant partner offer His only begotten Son on an altar. I said, yes, sir. And He was willing to do it. And He raised the knife and my angel had to stop His hand. He said, I knew the day was coming. And if my covenant partner was willing to do it, then I can't turn my back on it. And I knew what had to happen. And he said, nobody ever got out of there before. So I had to have my covenant partner from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. I came to make covenant with a man, a
a God of many nations. So that when the time came, I could not, even though my son said, let this cup pass from me, I couldn't. I couldn't do it. So I had to devise a plan to get him out of there. And he said, right here are the words I used. Now, with that in mind, read them. Let's go there again. God, who at sundry times in a different manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, we have a revelation right there. There was no law when Cain killed Abel. It was not against the law. Had God given him the death penalty, it would have been a murder. There was no law against it. So that's when the law began. And God's method was to speak to his prophets, and once it came into the earth, no way the devil could get it out. So he was giving his prophets the right thing to say at the right time for the right reason. I've said this over and over and over again. When David, this young teenager, when he said, that uncircumcised Philistine is no different than the lion and the bear. That, I'm telling you, that giant was dead right then. Yep. Yep. And that giant cursed him by his gods. And David said, you come at me with in your gods. I come at you in the Lord of hosts. The angelic armies of God. He just brought the angels in on it. And so, it's like a rifle bullet right there. The only place unguarded. But he had five smooth stones because Goliath had four brothers. He intended to take them all on. I'll just kill them all at once. I'll paraphrase. He kept asking, what do I get if I kill him? Yeah. I'll kill him. What do I get? Well, you get the king's daughter and your house is exempt from taxes. Okay. I'm going to kill him. The confession of his mouth. He'd sit up there with those sheep and dream and write songs and sing. I get to heaven, I want to hear that man sing. No, I want to hear Jesus sing. I can't get Jesus. And we'll have an eternity to discuss certain things and to go into heaven's archives and see them for real. It's all recorded. The book says so. The scroll. And where it said, in that case, scroll, did you know that same word can be translated tape? So they have a tape machine, a supernatural tape machine that has recorded everything from creation, both floods. And we just spent a couple of thousand years in the library. These things are real.
They're real, very real.
They were very real. And the moment he said it, that uncircumcised Philistine, well, he's good as dead right then. And now, the reason he a man after God's own heart, he used his covenant more than any of the rest of
them. There's the reason.
He depended on it for everything. Everything.
Yes.
And he was quick to repent. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to the book. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he in time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father. See it? Again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirit, since forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more excellent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you should visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of your hand. Thou hast put all things under subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet the things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, what does that mean? Taste death for every man. You can't taste it when you die. You can't hear it when you die. You can't smell it when you die. He tasted death for all men. We will never taste it because we've already been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies, they who are sanctified, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, listen, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through fear of death through all their lifetime were subject to bondage. You're not afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. That's the master fear. Death. Well, that just scared me to death. You're lying. I said something like that, and I'm telling you, God jumped me out. He said, don't you use the works of our enemy to express yourself. I say, well, it thrills me to life. He said, what's the matter with that? He said, why don't you just say it thrills you? Let your word be yes and no. The rest of those idle words you'll have to answer for. Let's go over to chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left to us entering into rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being missed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, and as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works are finished before the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And then this place again, if you shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered in not because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain date in David to say, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For Jesus has given them rest when there be afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest unto the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from him. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the intent of the heart. And there is none creature that is not manifest in his sight. Did you get that? Yes. He called the word of God his sight. He called God's written word. That's huge. His sight. My, my, my. That says again that heaven and this planet cannot be separated. And this book separates it where it's supposed to be separated. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And do what, Keith?
Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy.
Grace and obtain hesed. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And Christian people that just skim the surface, you don't ever get anything like that. They're those you have to mine the gold. And it's there. It is all there. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yeah, I'll just go on over here and get this done because of the time. In chapter 10, no, in verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, what did that tell you? Adam's sin went
all the way to heaven and polluted everything except the throne of God and the blood of Jesus. You remember? Mary recognized him. He said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father." And you go tell him, you saw me. Well, this is what was happening. His blood on the heavenly mercy seat had to purify all of the utensils of worship in heaven itself. This is very serious revelation. And now you know what's happening in that last Seder meal. The napkin. You take out the first. Take out the second. Take out the third. Then you go back. And they say, "Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But that's not what Jesus did. He did the same thing, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Break and eat. And as long as you do it in remembrance of me." Then he went to the wine, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." They did not know what he was doing. He was going to the cross. And he said it, my God, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine." And there was so much power in that garden that night, they could not stay awake. The battle forces were gathered up there. I mean, the demons of hell and the angels of God. He said, "I can call it and I ain't get 10,000 angels to put a stop to this." But I can't do it. I can't do it. Thank you, Jesus. I just can't do it. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Being a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love, to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have known the knowledge of the truth and remain no more sacrifice for sin. 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man brought back my soul, but we are not of them who draw back. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." I'm going to close with this one. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. By faith we trust and hold fervor the title deed to it." It's the title deed to your new sanctuary. It is the title deed. Hallelujah. The things that you can't see. The title deed.
Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I said the greater
one. The greater one is right here.
By his stripes ye were healed. That's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure. You can't separate healing from salvation. It's on the cross.
Join us for the Southwest Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland and our special lineup of guest speakers, July 28th through August 2nd. Register at kcm.org/SWBC today.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland, and today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. You know, God is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, and He is ready, more than willing to bless us. In fact, it was His idea, not Kenneth Copeland's. Prosperity is not Kenneth Copeland's idea. And I love how 2 Corinthians 9:8, even the whole chapter, really expresses God's picture of overwhelming grace that leads to abundance. And it's a partnership. God, we are part of a partnership that with God to not only be blessed, but to be part of Him blessing people, to be part of Him blessing humanity. And I think it says it so well. I'll read a little bit of it in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, let giving flow from your heart, not a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely. It says in verse 8, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, so that you will have more than enough of everything. That is right there, the definition of prosperity, having more than enough of everything. And it says, He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing that you do. And if you read the context, and I really encourage you, I'm reading out of the Passion, I encourage you to go read this for yourself. The context is that you would be a seed sower, that this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant towards you. He supplies every need plus more, and then He multiplies that seed as you sow it. And it says you cause generosity. Your generosity causes people to be grateful to Him and turn to Him in thanksgiving. Go read that. It's wonderful. It's a real picture of prosperity. I want to thank you, partners, for how faithfully you've given and supported, and you've partnered with this God message of faith and healing and life that we share at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I want to pray over your seed today. Lord, I thank you for doing just what you said in 1 Corinthians, that you would multiply the seed and you will multiply the harvest. As you sow your seed, remember, God loves you. We love you. He's multiplying that in your life today, because Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.